Today with Joseph Prince.
The richest billionaire in the world today has plenty. But you, child of God, you have everything. Amen. You need eyes to see that. Amen. Amen. You have more going for you than even richest people. Amen. Without Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are free from depression. You are poised. You are calm. You are not perturbed by the troubles of life because you have the shalom peace that garrisons your heart and mind. Hallelujah. You have Jesus. And to have Jesus is everything. Praise the Lord. As believers in the new covenant, now that we are under grace and not under the law, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, and the result is the fruit of the Spirit. The result is labor of love, work of faith, patience of hope, and true holiness. Amen. We are created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we operate based on the higher law. Amen. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go right into the Word of God. I want to share with you more on the Hazon vision that God has for us this year. I trust that you are still praying that prayer. If not, please continue to do so. The prayer of Ephesians 1, where it says, may God give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In the Greek, photizo, flooded with light. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. There's no problem that God cannot open our eyes to the solution. Amen. And best of all, God wants our eyes to be open in the knowledge of Jesus. That was what Adam and Eve had. You know, I believe that when God made Adam and Eve, God made them complete except for their spiritual eyes. It was closed. And God gave them that choice, whether to open that spiritual eyes by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or by the tree of life. Unfortunately, man listened to the voice of the enemy and opened his eyes to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And instead of seeing God and knowing God and being aware of all the good things that God has for him, he began to see his shortcomings. He began to see his nakedness. He began to see his destitute position. And as a result, man fell. And that was the original sin. So, when we look at what Jesus did on the road of Emmaus, the very first day of his resurrection on Emmaus Road, he actually, the Bible tells us, broke bread with the two in the house in Emmaus. And the Bible says when he broke bread, they knew him. So the breaking of bread, I believe, is a counterpart of the tree of life. Amen. Just like that resurrection day when Jesus walked with the two, it's like Adam and Eve. He walked with them. It's like a mirror image. Amen. There's a reason that God took time to show us the Emmaus Road of Luke 24 and to tell us that just like the Lord walked with Adam and Eve, Jesus walked with the two. And I believe their husband and wife. Emmaus means warm baths. And what a bath they had when Jesus expounded things in the scriptures concerning himself. Amen. At the end of it, the Bible says he broke bread. So he broke out the word of God, the revelation of it to them about himself on the way to Emmaus. In Emmaus, he broke bread. That's communion. Amen. So the Lord is showing us every Sunday because he rose again on Sunday. Amen. On that Sunday, the very first day he rose from the dead, he expounded scriptures concerning himself. That's what we need to do every Sunday. Praise the Lord. And also, receive communion. This is my belief. Amen. And we need to open our spiritual eyes today by the communion. The Bible says when they partook of the communion, in the Emmaus house, their eyes were open and they knew him. Amen. They didn't know their nakedness now. They know him. Amen. And to know him is eternal life. To know him, my friend, is the greatest blessing you can have. Amen. In your life, the greatest of all blessings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go right into the Word of God right now. And I want to share more on Hazon vision. And let's do it. Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, this word saw is actually the verb of Hazon. Hazon is a vision from God, right? Hazon is a noun. And here, the vision, Hazon, as you can see, is the noun, the vision of Isaiah, which Isaiah saw. Now, saw here is the verb, and is the word chazah. Chazah, chazon. They're all the same root word. Amen. Chazon comes from the same etymology as chazah. Amen. Chazon, chazon is the noun. Chazah is the verb. Amen. The chazon which Isaiah chazah, which he saw. Amen. I want to share more on that. Because if you look at the definition in the Strong's for the word chazah, it is this. It says to see, perceive, look, behold, prophesy. So in other words, it's prophetic seeing. Provide. This is interesting. To see as a seer. So notice the word provide is in the word see. See, perceive, look, behold is probably all the same meaning, right? In said in different forms. But prophecy is actually an insight into the type of seeing. It's a prophetic seeing, usually of the future, or usually into the wisdom and the plans of God that God has for us to see as a seer, right? But it's also the word provide. Can you see the word provide there? Now, it seems to stand out by itself, provide. So in other words, in your vision from God, in your vision is the provision. Amen. If you look at Exodus 18, here it says in Exodus 18, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. This is the advice given to Moses. And it's a lesson in leadership, the kind of leaders that we need to pick out, right? But notice this word, moreover, thou shalt provide. This word provide is the word chazah, chazah. Moreover, thou shalt provide. In the Young's Literal Translation, thou dost provide. Provide is the word chazah. Amen. So to see, like today we have in our English vernacular, we'll say things like, I need to buy something. I said, don't worry about it. I'll see to it. What does that mean? I'll see to it. I'll provide for you. And I'll make sure it happens. Amen. Don't worry about it. I'll see to it. So when the Lord sees to it, it's actually saying there is provide. So to see is to be provided for. Amen. Your provision is in the vision that God gives you. Amen. I want to show that to you because this is so important that we understand this. And it is not so much that the provisions of God come to us just by us being good. Amen. Just by us being, we know there are people with good intentions, but if they're not walking according to the principles, according to the laws of the universe, amen. For example, the law of the universe tells us, like the law of gravity. You can say, I hate the law of gravity. I don't believe in the law of gravity. Someone's idea of it's a conspiracy and all that, but it is there. But then it can be superseded by a greater law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Just like an airplane is not subject to the law of gravity. Why? It is still there, but it is operating by a higher law, the law of trust and lift, amen, that supersedes, amen, that frees the airplane from the law of gravity. So likewise, as believers in the new covenant, now that we are under grace and not under the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, and the result is the fruit of the Spirit. The result is labor of love, work of faith, patience of hope, and true holiness. Amen. We are created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we operate based on the higher law. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when we look at this word chazah, this provision, God has a principle there for us to understand that whatever He shows you, all right, the provision is in the vision. Just like the English word provision, notice the pro is there for the vision, is to provide for the vision. Amen. But if there's no vision, there's no provision. We need to operate according to God's principles. And many a times, the devil knows this more than more than people that are supposed to know this from God's word. But the enemy knows this principle. And in fact, the New Age people, they try to apply the laws of visualization or the principles of visualization in their life. And now, be careful about going to the New Age teachings because many of it, all right, the devil is going to trap you and it's a snare. And in some cases, it will even cost you your life. Amen. I know of cases whereby people ask for special numbers for a lottery and all that. It happened to be my relative, and he had a dream that an ugly creature came to him and gave him, you know, four numbers for him to, in Singapore context here, we're talking about lottery here. And he played that number, he won big, but within a short time, he lost his life. One day he just fell dead. All right, the devil will never give you anything without taking something back in return. You don't want to follow the devil. Amen. You want to follow Jesus. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's look at the life of Abraham, our father Abraham. And let's see the principle of how God taught him to see, amen, before he can possess it. In Genesis 13, when he just entered the land, at this time he was about 79 years old, so he just came out of Egypt. Remember, he came down into the land of Canaan. At a time was famine, and then he went south, even further south, and went to Egypt, and there he got in some trouble, and he came up. So we're following the story now as he came out, okay, in Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after the Lord had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Friends, that's the cross. Our inheritance is in the cross. If you draw north, south, east, west, you will see the cross. Now, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Now, where Abraham was at this point in time, was in Bethel, and a hill of Bethel. For of all the land which you see, I give to you. Notice this, all the land which you see, I give to you. All the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So God told Abraham, if you see it, right? If you see that land, that portion I give to you. All the land, if you see all the land, then all the land I give to you. Amen. So God says, lift your eyes northward, southward, eastward, westward. And God says, all the land you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Now notice the word dust of the earth. Keep that in mind. I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Now notice God told him, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. You know, many years ago when I first read this, I believe I was a teenager at the time when I read this portion, and I thought that, wow, Abraham has to walk, and I didn't realize, I've not been to Israel at the time, and I didn't realize how big or how small Israel is. And I was thinking, just by the sheer magnitude of walking throughout the land, north, south, east, and west, wow, I mean, this guy must be really fit, and he must have all the time in the world. But it is not a physical walking. If you look carefully, the very next verse says he didn't do that. Instead, it says, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So instead of walking in the land through its length and width, right, he moved his tent. So what does it mean? He did walk. But in other words, he didn't walk physically. He walked in the spirit, literally walking in the spirit. He, from the high altitude of the Mount Bethel, he looked, and by the way, if you're on Mount Bethel, there's no way you can see northward all the way and then southward, all right, let alone east and west. But the fact is, he began to see it prophetically. He began to see it the way God showed it to him. Just like on Mount Pisgah, Moses' last stand, right? God showed him. It's not possible to see everything. You can see a lot of things from Mount Pisgah, Mount Nebo, where he died, right? But from Mount Nebo, you cannot see all the way, right, to the end, and even to the Mediterranean Sea and all the way, but except for a very super clear day. But, you know, even then, it'll be probably 80%. But God showed him. The Bible says the Lord showed him all the land. So when the Lord shows, it's prophetic. Amen. So in the spirit, Abraham walked. God showed him a vision. Amen. And he walked through the land. And God says, every place that you see, amen, that you're walking, amen, is yours. If you see it, it's yours. So northward, he saw all the way up to Dan, Amen. He saw the north. He saw the Golan Heights. He saw all the area. Then all the way to the south. Amen. Beersheba. All the way to Eilat. All the way down there. He saw in the spirit. And all the way to the west. Amen. All the way to Mount Carmel and that area of Jaffa. And all the way to the east. He saw. And God showed him. And the Lord says, all the land that you see is yours. So that's the principle right there. If you see it, amen, you are provided for. Amen. Your provision is in the vision. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In our lives, amen, many a times, before we can walk in a higher level, amen, a new level of life, amen, we got to believe. We got to, you know, at one time, maybe we fancied when we were young in school, we thought that, oh, getting $1,000 salary a month is great, you know, $1,000, wow, you know. And then our vision grew, you know, 1,000 is not that great, depending on the context of where you are at, amen, and the things that you need to have. But then you realize as you go on, but what happened is that your vision is being enlarged, actually, before you can possess that level. Whether it's your life, where you can see yourself doing this. Once upon a time, you can't imagine as a boy driving a car. I don't think I can learn all the different gears and all the different... But see, you were enlarged before you walk in it. Amen? And the vision of God will enlarge you. Because the vision of God transcends time and space. It causes you to be there and then trains you here as you walk towards there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Abraham, all the land that he saw, amen, God says, I give to you. And right after that, Abraham moved his tent in a place called Mamre in Hebron. And very interesting, Mamre means strength or fatness, and Hebron means association. And here, association with the Lord. You know, the word Hebron is from the root word chavar. Chavar is also from where you get the word chavura, by his chavura, by his stripes. We are healed. Now, I know kavura refers to the stripe, literally the stripe. But kavura is from the word kavar, which means alliance, friendship. Amen. We can say it like this. With his stripes, we are healed. Yes. But also with our alliance with Jesus, with our friendship with Jesus, with our contact with Jesus, we are healed. Amen. Very interesting word, Hebron. Amen. So Abraham moved his tent. Now, remember, I told you just now that God told him he's multiply his descendants as the dust of the earth, right? Now, let's go to Genesis 15 now. Now, Abraham is about 84 years old. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And I believe he had a vision of the magan. Amen. In Hebrew, magan means shield. A shield coming to him. And God says, I'm your defender. I'm your protector. And not only that, I'm your exceeding great reward. The word reward in the Hebrew literally is what they use for salary. I'm your exceeding great remuneration. Amen. I am your exceeding great remuneration. Not the conditions of your country. Amen. Not your boss. Amen. Not the place where you're working at. Not the conditions and of the economy in the world. Even though we are in the pandemic and things look bleak economically, right? But God says, I am your exceeding great remuneration. I am your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. And what a reward you are, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why to have Jesus is to have everything. It reminds me of the time when Jacob met his brother after many years, and he met Esau. And he actually said this, you know, Esau asked him, what are all these sheep and goats that you bring along with you in front of me here? Oh, this, my brother, they are gifts for you. And then Esau said this, you know what? Keep it for yourself. I have a lot. I have a lot. Literally, the word rav, I have an abundance, he told his brother Jacob. Jacob says, no, please take it, my brother. I want you to have it. God, then he said this, God has been gracious to me and I have everything. Beautiful. The word kol in Hebrew, kol. I have everything. His brother has plenty. He has everything. Amen. The greatest, the richest billionaire in the world today has plenty. But you, child of God, you have everything. Amen? You need eyes to see that. Amen. Amen. You have more going for you than even richest people. Amen. Without Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are free from depression. You are poised. You are calm. You are not perturbed by the troubles of life because you have the shalom peace that garrisons your heart and mind. Hallelujah. You have Jesus. And to have Jesus is everything. Praise the Lord. And even if you need finances, amen, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Not according to the conditions of the economy, but according to His riches in glory. Amen. That's how He supplies. You know, my friend, He didn't even say He'll supply out of. Amen. But according to. Wow. According is more than out of. Out of is a portion of His riches. But according to His riches means all His riches. Amen. According is all yours. And that's how God provides it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So in Genesis 15, when the Lord appeared to him, look at Abraham's response. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Notice that God told him, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. His answer was, but what will you give me? Lord, the vision is good. The vision is fine. Amen. I see the shield. You're saying that you are all this to me, but what will you give me? Amen. Seeing I go childless. So he was, at this point in time, wavering in his faith. He's not operating in faith. And, you know, not to have faith in the Lord's words is not a good place to be in, child of God. Amen. It is dishonoring the Lord. It is the greatest insult you can give to God, actually. But God was kind with Abraham. Amen. And don't forget, Abraham is a man who's a picture of the faith righteousness. Amen. And I noticed that in the life of Abraham, in my studies of Abraham, God never one time rebuked him verbally. Never. Did God child train him? Yes. Amen. God did. But God never verbally rebuked Abraham. Never. I've never seen that happen. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to be corrected by God. I'm just saying that God never condemned Abraham. Amen. Ever. Amen. I don't see God punishing Abraham. Amen. Yes, child trained, yes. Even believers today can be child trained by God, but never punished by God again. Because why? We have passed from condemnation. Amen. Unto life. We have passed out of death into life. Amen. We are no more under condemnation. There is therefore now, present tense, is present tense as well. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And child of God, knowing this doesn't make you promiscuous, doesn't make you want to go and sin. In fact, knowing this is the power that Jesus spoke to that woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You must see the order of it to understand the power of going and sinning no more. If we give people condemnation, they will go and sin some more. But if we give them no condemnation, if they realize the gift of no condemnation, it will empower them to go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Amen. So God realized that Abraham was in a state of unbelief, and God had to help him in his belief. So what did God do? This is what God said to Abraham. And God brought Abraham forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars. The word tell here is actually count or tell the story. And I have a message where Abraham was told by God the story of the gospel in the stars. That's not a message altogether. And the word tell is the same as the Psalms 19 where it says the heavens declare, safar in Hebrew, tell or count or even tell the story. So it's both, my friend. Here is both, right? Tell the stars or tell the story of the stars, the gospel story in the stars. This is not astrology. This is the gospel story. God made the stars for the purpose. And astrology has perverted the thing. Amen. We're not to look at the stars to know our fortune and to know how to govern our lives. We are to look at the one who made the stars to know how to govern our lives. Amen. So today, we look to the Lord in His word. Amen. But back then, he didn't have the Bible. So God, to build Abraham's faith, God brought him out towards heaven and says, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Or in the Hebrew, tell the story. But again, also number is correct. So it's both ways. God says, tell the story of the stars and number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Seed here is Jesus. God was prophesying the coming of his son. And Abraham believed in the Lord, And God counted it to Abram for righteousness. And this verse is so precious, amen, to the New Testament believer, because it is the verse that caused us all to be born again. It is actually the central verse of the gospel, besides the just shall live by faith. This is quoted again and again in Romans, in James, in Galatians, again and again. Abraham believed the Lord. He didn't have to do much. He just believed in the Lord and God counted it to him for righteousness. It wasn't anything he did. Amen. He just believed in the Lord. God showed him something. He says, I believe you, Lord. In fact, the word belief is the word aman in Hebrew, where we get the word amen. Amen. When you say amen, you are releasing faith in what God said to you. If God says something to you and you say amen, you are saying, I believe you, Lord. And that's the greatest honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So God brought him out. God says, see if you're able to number the stars. And Abraham, tell me, you can tell the story of the stars. Amen. I believe that all the way from Adam, it was handed down all the way to Abraham, even the story of the gospel in the stars, the woman with the child, Virgo, all the way to Leo. Amen. 12 constellations. If you start with Virgo, you end with Leo. Just like the New Testament opens with the virgin and the child, right? Jesus, the death destroyer. Amen. The promised seed. Hallelujah. The conqueror of the serpent's head. Praise the Lord. Jesus would come through a virgin, and you start with the gospel story, the opening of the New Testament. You end in the book of Revelation where Jesus is portrayed there as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And Leo is portrayed by lion. Amen. Lion. Praise the Lord. So notice that God says, so shall thy seed be, and thy seed here is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's actually singular, which means Christ, and all of us in Christ. But even then, God still said to count the number of the stars. So I believe that earlier on, I told you to remember that in Genesis 13, God says, I'll multiply your descendants as the dust of the earth. And here you talk about the stars, right? So if you put them together, it's very interesting because day and night is covered here. In the daytime, God help his faith. Every time you look at the dust of the earth, and you go to Israel, you go to the Middle East, dust is plenteous. It's everywhere. And God, and look around and he's telling himself, God told me that every time I look at the dust, right, to remember that these are my descendants. Amen. I'm going to have a child. At that time, his wife is barren. She's always been barren. And now they are both coming to old age and yet never had a child. And that's why he says, seeing I go childless. His seeing was wrong. He told God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless. And God had to change Abraham's seeing. God says, I'm going to give him a visual aid. Amen. I'm going to use the dust of the earth for daytime and the stars of the sky for the nighttime. Amen. And at nighttime, he looked up. And it's as if the stars change faces to babies, his babies crying out, Father Abraham, Father Abraham. That's how plenteous. And in the Middle East, there are no lights around. And in the dark of the night, you will see numerous stars. And God says, see if you're able to number the stars. Hallelujah. And it builds his faith. Amen. It's good for you if you're believing God for a baby even, all right, like Abraham and Sarah did. It's good for you to have visual aids. Amen. Choose pictures of beautiful babies. Amen. And put them there, like picture of Pastor Mark. He's cute, isn't he? Praise the Lord. And then you take pictures and you put it in a Hazon book. Amen. Your scrapbook. And then put pictures of your baby. Amen. Buy baby stuff. Amen. I remember that, because I know this principle, as I was believing God for my next child, to believe God for my next offspring, praise the Lord, after Jessica, it took some time. Jessica came fast, but it took some time for me. And I realized that this requires more. Amen. And I thank God for this privilege to learn to walk in faith. Amen. We don't want to do things that are natural as well. Amen. We would love to walk in faith because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know when we walk in faith, we please our Father. So I remember visualizing, amen, praying and visualizing. It's not just praying, give me a child, give me a child. I visualize the child coming. And at night, and I told Wendy this, and I'll take the bolster or a pillow and I'll walk around at night in my room, and I'll sing to the bolster, the so-called baby that I see in my arms. I'll be carrying this baby. I said, Lord, I thank you for this baby. I thank you for this baby. And I'll sing. And the song I sing is always the same one. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I don't know why that hymn always comes to me when I carry this pillow. And when Justin came along, there's a song that I sing to him when I carry him. Every night, I would sing the same song, because that was a time when I was carrying a bolster, and I would sing to the bolster, but now I have a baby. And in a short time after that, Justin came. I was carrying him one day, and I realized this is the fulfillment of the dream. Amen. So start having visual aids, amen, to help your vision. You know, out there, the world is always giving you bad news. You know, one out of five ladies, they are not able to, you know, one out of this. And every time you hear, it's always bad news. You know, even health reports is actually more like health negative reports, you know. And I understand they have to tell the other side and all that, but many times the other side becomes the focus and becomes exponentially more overt than the positives. Amen. But where do you get a positive? Where do you get the vision from God? Amen. In His Word. Amen. You don't need to be like Abraham, look at the stars. And, you know, because back then, Abraham didn't have the scroll to bring along. He didn't have the Bible to bring along. His life was making the Bible. Amen. For us to read. In fact, if you read Psalms 19, it tells you clearly that what is the stars and the sun and the moon and all that in the sky is today the law of the Lord is perfect. You know, you read Psalms 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Same word, safar, declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters His speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So day unto day means what? The sun, you know, utters speech about God, and the night, the stars, amen, the galaxies, they actually reveal knowledge. Praise God. And yes, back then, that's how men come to know God, that there's a creator. When they look up, they know that all these things don't come by chance. Amen. Unless our heart is really hardened, we can't see there's a creator behind all these things. You know, friend, but then later on, the same psalm, you come to, I believe, verse 7. If instead of all the sun, the moon, and the stars it's talking about, it comes right down to the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is that telling us? The Word of God has taken the place of the stars, the sun, the moon, amen, to help your faith. So where do you get your vision from? The Word of God. Remember this, don't get your vision from New Age. Don't get a vision from just magazines, and you say, oh, I want this BMW, I want this Rolls Royce. So you put a picture up there. God never promised that He's going to give you a Rolls Royce, okay, friend? But you can put a picture of Psalms 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. See yourself surrounded by a confluence of rivers, amen, refreshing you all the time, amen. You are never dry. Amen. It says here, that brings forth his fruit in season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There you have your Hazon vision. Amen. Meditate on it. You say, Pastor Prince, is this a Hazon vision? Let me prove to you, okay? It is a Hazon vision. Amen. That we have to get our Hazon vision from the Word of God. Amen. Not getting to carnal, materialistic ideas or New Age ideas, but to find all our faith pictures from God's own Word. Amen. Look at the story of Balaam. Remember the story of Balaam? As the children of Israel were coming through present-day Jordan, back then is the land of Moab, and the king actually hired Balaam, who's actually, you know, he's like a prophet, yet he's not he's like a semi-wizard, you know, kind of thing. And he says, I know that whoever you curse will be cursed. So the king brought him to a high mountain and told him, I'll pay you a lot if you will curse these people. And he tried to curse, but God turned his mouth around and his words. And instead of a curse, he blessed the people of Israel. Remember that? Well, this same Balaam, let's see what happened to him. You know, God actually caused his spirit to come on him in one of the mountains as he looked down the children of Israel. This is what he said. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel and came according to their tribes. And when he saw that, the Spirit of God came upon him. You know what he saw? He saw a picture of the cross. He saw Israel camp according to their tribes. This is camping according to the tribes. It makes the cross. Amen. The southern part has the most the longest because it's the tribe of Judah. Amen. Eastward. Then he took up his oracle. Notice when he saw that, the Spirit of God came upon him, not in him to dwell, but came upon him. Amen. To leave him, of course, later on. But the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty. The word vision here is makazeh. Makazeh is from chazah. Same root word. Who sees chazah, who sees is chazah, the verb, who sees the vision, makazeh, of the Almighty. Now notice this word. Sees the vision of the Almighty. Sees the vision of the Almighty. What is the vision of the Almighty that God showed Balaam? With his eyes wide open. This is the vision. Are you ready? How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside. That reminds you of Psalms 1, right? Like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. This is called the vision of the Almighty. Friend, this is called the vision of the Almighty. And the word Almighty there is the name of God, Shaddai. This is the vision of the Shaddai, the Almighty. And it was the vision of the Shaddai for your life. Amen. You're like a garden by the rivers of water. You're like a cedar planted by the waters. Exactly Psalms 1. And that's why I'm saying that the Bible is full of faith pictures, which are visions of the Almighty for our lives. Amen, amen, amen. Now let's go to Genesis 17 now. Abraham is now about 99 years old. When Abraham was 99 years old. Now remember that when God first told him about multiplying his descendant like the dust, all the land that you see in Genesis 13, that was when he was 79 years old. That was 20 years ago. Now he's 99. And his child hasn't come, but within the year, his child would come. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Literally, in the Hebrew, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. God says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Abram means altitude. Abraham means father of multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations. So God put a Hebrew letter from God's own name. God put hey into Abraham. And in fact, if you keep on reading, God also put his hey. God has two heys, Yahweh, Yud hey, Vav hey. God put his hey into Abram, and Abram became Abraham, father of many. God gave his other hey to, and the way you say hey is hey, an outbreathing. God breathed hey into Sarai, and Sarai became Sarah. Amen. A queen, a princess. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And within the year, the baby came. So in other words, God changed their confession. God changed the words they spoke. They are calling each other now. Sarah will call him father of multitudes, father of multitudes, when he comes in from the field. And dinner is ready, father of multitudes. Your dinner is ready. And all the neighbors will think, wow, he don't even have a child, but he's a father of multitudes. Imagine that. Father of multitudes, father of multitudes. And, you know, I'm saying not a child by Sarah. Now, he had a child with Hagar, and that's not through Sarah. But here, Sarah is calling him father of multitudes. God is changing. Faith has got to do with your words. God's changing the words he speaks. Now, the Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith. I believe, and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. Many times, there's a lot of emphasis on this part of speaking. We forget about the part of seeing. Notice when he was 79 years old, when God told him, I'll multiply your descendants like the dust of the earth. He was only 79 years old at that time. 99, God changed his words. So God changed his vision before God changed his words. God wants us to see more and more and more until when we speak, it happens. In fact, when he spoke, how long did he speak before it happened? If you give in a given year, there's 12 months, right? So he was 99 years old. And we know that a baby came when he was about 100 years old. So give and take 9 months of gestation period. All right, 9 months out of 12 leaves you with 3 months. So it was 3 months of changing his name from Abram to Abraham, changing his speech about himself. I'm father of multitude. Every time he introduced himself, I'm father of multitude. This is princess. Amen. Amen. Kings will come from her. Praise the Lord. He changed his words. But notice, it only took 3 months of speaking positive. Praise the Lord. But before that, 20 years before, God says, I'll multiply your seed like the dust of the earth. And every time he sees the dust, God changed his vision before God changed his speaking. Can you see that? In fact, in Genesis 15, God says, look at the stars. He was 84 years old. That's 15 years before he was 99, right? So God says, now look at the stars. So God keep on changing his heart. Keep on changing his heart. He didn't believe completely. But when God changed his heart is full of the vision of him being a father of many. Then God changed his speech. And his speech was only changed, right? He spoke differently only for 3 months. And then the child came. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Romans 4, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So you see that, you know, the baby came when he was about 100 years old. So praise God. Give and take. Amen. God changed his speech 3 months before Sarah conceived, finally. In other words, we emphasize a lot on our saying, but God emphasizes a lot on our seeing. You got to see right before you can speak right. Jesus says it like this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. It is from the abundance of the heart. Amen. You can say the right thing, but if you don't say it on the inside, you can say, I'm healed. But you see yourself sick. You see yourself, you know, in the hospital all the time. And you have a bad vision of the future. You have a negative vision of the future. Friend, you got to change your heart first. Amen. Fill your thoughts, your mind with the word of God on health. Amen. The world is full of reports of sickness, pandemic, disease, sickness, disease. You know, but where do you find health, wholeness in the word of God? Amen. And what you behold, you become. Praise the Lord. I just want to share a little nugget with you before we close. And it's in my study, when I'm studying on the word hazza, to see prophetically, to provide, to behold. Amen. God gave me this, and I began to study the etymology of the word. This is the word chaza, right? To see. Chaza, to see, right? But when I studied these words, I went to study further, and I saw that it's also the word chazeh. This is pronounced as chazeh, but notice the letters, the Hebrew letters are the same, except for the bottom part, the dashes, what we call the tittle. The dashes and the dots are not the same. And the word hazeh means the breast of the animal sacrifice. Only the breast of the animal sacrifice. It's not referring to human, not referring to mothers, it's not referring to others. Amen. Only for the breast of the animal sacrifice is hazeh, from the same word as chazah, to see. When I saw this, I was so excited because the Lord began to open my eyes to see that the primary one thing that He wants us to see is Jesus in His love for me, in His love for you. You are to behold, use that hazon vision, hazah, the vision of Jesus loving you. Where? Because the breast of the animal sacrifice, it refers to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at this word, how is used, hazeh, the breast of the animal sacrifice. In Leviticus 7, His own hands, this is referring to the peace offering. The peace offering is an animal offering, okay? You either bring a sheep or you bring a goat. And His own hands shall bring the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breasts He shall bring. That the breasts, notice the breast here is the word hazeh. And it's only used for animal sacrifice. The animal that is sacrificed. It's not used for humans. It's not used for anything else. Right? The breasts. Hazeh, only used for animal sacrifice, which means God has a specific intent in mind using it exclusively for this, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And look at this, the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. The portion that belongs to us, amen, today is the breast of the animal sacrifice. So the fire to the Lord is the place of the cross where the sacrifice was placed on the altar that's burning. It's a picture. The four corners of the altar represent the cross of Jesus Christ where the fires of God's judgment fell upon Jesus. Amen. And we are to feast on that dying love. We are to feast on His love for us. Amen. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is your portion. It's not just your portion. Notice the breast that is burned, that is roasted. Amen. The breast shall be Aaron's. Now, who is Aaron? Aaron is the high priest of Israel. Amen. He's the first high priest. He's a picture of our high priest today. Who is our high priest today? Our Lord Jesus. Notice the breast. Amen. But you said, Pastor Prince, Jesus is the animal sacrifice and it's His breast. Yes. In other words, Aaron's food is His love. In other words, listen, our high priest today is Jesus. Amen. So the breast of the animal sacrifice, which represents what? Love. The love. The breast always represents the love. Just like the right thigh of the animal sacrifice represents strength, power. But breast always represents the love. Amen. Of Jesus. And notice our portion, our food. Because we are now Aaron's sons, right? We are priests. Aaron's sons are all priests. Amen. And we are sons of Aaron. But who is Aaron? Our Lord Jesus, our high priest. Amen. He's the high priest. We are priests. Amen. Sons of Aaron. So our portion we get to enjoy and feed on and feast on, all right, is the love of Jesus. Amen. Not only that, but His feast, His food, our Lord's food is also His love. How does that work? It works like this. We enjoy, we feast on His love for us. We look at His love for us. Amen. Where do we look at it? At the cross. We read the scriptures, we see the cross, and the Holy Spirit paints the Hazon vision in our hearts and lives. Amen. And then we see more and more what happened at the cross. And we see it's all because He loved us. He didn't have to go to the cross. He's perfect. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In Him is no sin, but He became sin. And for a holy God to become sin, even the anticipation of Him becoming sin, all right, caused a shudder to go through His very being that He sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just the anticipation of being at the cross, becoming sin, caused Him to sweat blood, which medical science says only in very extreme cases will the little capillaries burst and the sweat and the blood mingles and you sweat blood. Amen. Of course, the truth of it is that, you know, what began in a garden was finished. What began in the Garden of Eden was finished in this garden as well. Praise the Lord. And in that garden, the curse of God came. And God says to Adam, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. It won't be easy for you to have the necessities of life come to you. You got to work for it. You got to work for it. You got to sweat for it. Amen. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus' blood, which has redeeming quality, when His blood mingled with sweat, He redeemed you and I from the curse of sweat. Hallelujah. The curse of human laborious toil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean we don't work, but we work to enjoy. Amen. Make sure that you are in a job where you are there because the Lord tells you to be there and you're enjoying your job. We're not toiling to get money. Amen. We're not working in a laborious, painful toil to get money. Amen. Because that is the curse. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of sweat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The portion of the breast belonging to Aaron also means that Jesus' food is His love for us. He feasts on His love for us. He enjoys loving us. In other words, whenever He loves you, it's a feast for Him. Whenever you allow Him to love you, it's a feast for Him. Amen. His food is just like the woman at the well. Remember, Jesus started tired. It was a long, long trip. Amen. And He must needs to go through Samaria. Notice that phrase, He must needs. He must. That must is a must of divine necessity. He didn't have to go through. Amen. But He must needs because of that woman. Amen. He came all the way for her and He was tired. As a man, He was tired. Don't forget, He was fully man. as well. And fully God, fully man. But as a man, he was tired. He sat on the well, and his disciples went to buy food from a nearby village. And he talked to the woman, and in a short time, he ministered to her. He asked for water that he never received initially. He gave her water, living waters, eternal waters that she never even asked. Amen. And as he ministered to her, as she allowed him to love on her, as she allowed him to unveil himself to her. In fact, that woman in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, was the first one to hear that Jesus is the Christ. She said that when the Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, amen, he will tell us all things. Jesus looked at her and says, I who speak unto you, I am he. Amen. See, the woman just took from him. The woman just enjoyed, amen, his ministry. Just and even tired as he was blessing that woman. He was giving to that woman. By the time the disciples came, right, and wanting to give him the food, there was an obvious change. Because they said to one another, has someone given him food? Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. He looked refreshed. When they left him, he looked tired. But now he looks refreshed. And they said, did someone give him food? Amen. Friend, his food is to love you. Amen. If you allow him to love you, that's his food. He enjoys it. So the breast is the portion of Aaron's, amen, and his sons. Hallelujah. I pray that has blessed you. It surely blessed me. Hallelujah. In fact, back to this again, when Jesus was sitting on the well, it's a prophecy of Jacob where he says that his Joseph is a fruitful bough whose branches reach over the wall. The idea of the wall is always the back then to separate the Jew from the Gentile. Don't forget, this Samaritan woman is a Gentile. And even though he's tired, amen, this heavenly Joseph, his reach was over the wall. Amen. He was a fruitful bough. Though tired, he was fruitful. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he reached out and got that woman saved. Not her, and through her, not just her. Through her, he got the entire village of Samaria there saved. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So the first thing, hazah, that God wants us to see is exactly the same words. Hazeh, right? Which is the breast of the animal sacrifice. And where do we see his love? At the cross. Friend, at the cross, righteousness and peace met. Justice. You can say righteousness is like justice, right? And peace met. Mercy and truth met. You see, God being God, God is holy. And we don't want God to compromise his holiness. We want to worship a truly holy God. And he is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Because God is holy, he has to punish sin. Amen. But God loves the sinner. God has to punish sin, but God loves the sinner. How can God reconcile this? Amen. God doesn't want to destroy the sinner. Under the law, they destroyed, you know, when Moses saw the golden calf, all right, all those that worshiped the golden calf were destroyed with the golden calf when he came down the mountain. Well, when Jesus came down another mountain, and he saw that boy that was possessed with a devil. All right, he didn't destroy the boy with the devil. Amen. He cast the devil out. He judged the devil and loved the boy, set the boy free. Amen. Only grace can do that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So how can God save sinful men? How can God allow a thrice holy God, allow sinful men to come into his presence? Amen. Without compromising his righteousness and holiness. The cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. At the cross, the sins of man were borne by the sinless one. Amen. He knew no sin. Amen. He took our sin at the cross, right? And on the other hand, what about the love of God? If God just say everybody, you know, can go to heaven, right? And everybody don't have to change your life and you don't have to leave your sin. You can just go to heaven. Then where is the holiness? Where is the righteousness of God that causes the entire universe to work in unison and in harmony? All the disharmony today is because the earth is out of whack. Amen. And the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we see that God cannot compromise either his love or his holiness. If God says, yes, man cannot come in, man will die. I will just wipe man out and build a new species of beings. Amen. God could have done that. Amen. But instead of that, amen, we can also say, if God does that, where is his love? right? If God just gave full vent to His righteousness and holiness, where is the love? But here at the cross, both righteousness and peace met at the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, the sinless one bore our sins. And because the Holy One bore our sins at the cross, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we who knew no righteousness was made to be the righteousness of God in Him. My friend, there you see the love of God. Because it's not you and I hanging on that cross. It is Jesus, God's beloved Son, the one that God opened the heavens to, and God says, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Amen. And it's, you know, at the cross, friend, He bore your sins and my sins. And not only that, Isaiah says, surely, you know, He bore our sins and our transgressions, but also Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Amen. Amen. He has borne our koli and makof, which is our Hebrew words for sickness and disease, pain. Friend, He bore it at the cross. Amen. All our sins, all our diseases. Amen. You know why? Because He loved you. He loved you. Now just feast on that. Feast on that. Amen. Yes, you know you have sinned. I know I have sinned. Amen. But He died for our sin. Christ died for our sins. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, we didn't care about God. We were breaking His laws. We were going our own ways. God loved us. Amen. I love the way the Bible says, having loved His own in the world, He loved them unto the end. Many a times we are not sure, even in a marriage situation, right? There are people who are not sure. Yeah? I'm sure, but I'm saying that there are people, and it's well known, there are people who are not sure about their marriage because they are marrying a fallible human. Amen. I know you love me in the past. Will you love me in the future to the end? Well, the Bible says, Jesus, having loved, past tense, His own in the world, He loved them to the end. Hallelujah. You can rest, be assured that tomorrow when we wake up, His love is still shining on you. He loves you. Now, the Bible says like this, if God spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah. If God withholds something, when God gave us His best, His Son, God is saying that this thing that He withholds is greater than His Son because He was willing to give up His Son. If God withholds healing from you when He gave up His Son, then God is saying healing is more important to Him, more valuable. No, friend, how will He not with Him also freely, freely give us all things? You don't have to earn it. You only have to receive it because it's given freely. With Jesus. That's why I say when you have Jesus, you have everything. Everything. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I pray that this has blessed you. Hallelujah. I pray that you will also apply the principles like Jesus. He operated like this. He says the Son can do nothing except what He sees the Father do. He lived by His own vision. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Amen. And watch out that you don't allow movies, you know, that sometimes, you know, movies talk, they give you all the blood and the gore and all the symptoms of diseases, and you see this person dying of this disease and you're very conscious of all these things. Your consciousness is painting the picture of sickness, 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 sickness in your body. You know, you see all kind of immorality and people not married, sleeping together and all that, and it becomes normal. You're conscious of that, and then your morals break down and this is what you see. Watch out, guard your heart. Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Amen? Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth. When you bring forth means it manifests outside, brings forth good things. Amen. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Do not be influenced by all the evils in this world. Amen. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen. Don't allow yourself to be, you know, looking at juicy gossip. Amen. You know, oh, this guy fell. Oh, that guy fell. I want to see what other people are saying. I want to see that kind of thing. I want to see, I want to see this thing. Every time you're giving them a view, you're actually increasing their influence Friend, don't just say no to all this. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who sits not in the seat of the scornful. We've got a lot of scornful people. Now this, yes, a lot of people scorning, mocking. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Instead, put faith pictures in your heart. If you're believing God for a baby, buy baby clothes, put them somewhere prominent. You can see them. Thank you, I see my baby. You can do like me. Amen. Every night, just take the bolster and walk around in the room, sing to the Lord and thank you for my baby. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, don't tell people about this. You know, they might think you're crazy any more than they think of Abraham. When Abraham introduced himself, says, I am father of many. And to Sarah, they had not even a child. Friend, the world will never understand the ways of faith. But keep on seeing. Amen. Keep on receiving. Keep on getting blessed. For one day, the Bible says, thy profiting will appear to all. And Jesus will receive all the praise and the glory. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. If you have never made Jesus your personal Savior and Lord, I would like to help you pray to receive Jesus right now. And friend, you have heard the gospel just now, how on that cross Jesus gave his life for us. He had to die. There's no other way to forgive sins. God cannot compromise his holiness by just saying boys will be boys and sweep all our sins under the carpet. No, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Christ did just that at the cross. So friend, all God is saying to you is come back home. Come back home. It is God who gave us his son because he loved you. Amen. If that is you right now, you want to put your trust in Christ. Amen. Pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for my sins. I thank you that you raised him from the dead when I was acquitted in him. Thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. From now on, Father, I fully expect to get to know Jesus more and more and to see his love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, all the old things in your inward life is all passed away. Amen. All things inside you now are become new. Amen. And it can also affect your health on the outside. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for all those of you. You are suffering in some way. You have been given a bad diagnosis from the doctor and or you're on medication. I see someone who just found out about his heart that there are a few blockages in his heart. And I see you morose and depressed and downcast. And friend, good news is that God is clearing up all those valves. God is clearing up all those blockages. Amen. Amen. And you're feeling like a surge of strength coming to you. Amen. It's a sign. Now go back to the doctor. Don't just take this and not go back to the doctor, but go back to the doctor, have him verify. And please write to us when that happens. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you get a clear result, amen, from the doctor, because I see you completely healed. Completely healed. This is what the Lord is showing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All kinds of heart ailments. Praise the Lord. I hear the word murmuring of the heart. A murmuring of the heart. Amen. And God is saying he's healing that. He's healing that. I see the word arrhythmia. Arrhythmia. He's healing that in people that are watching right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. High blood pressure. He's healing that. He's healing that right now in Jesus' name. There's a someone that's watching right now is a man, and you have an overt fear, an inordinate fear of having a stroke for some reason, and this fear sort of controlled you, you know, throughout your day. And God wants to set you free in Jesus' name. Be free, my friend, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now lift your hands all across this place, wherever you are. Okay, I want to pray for those of you who need healing. Amen. Now listen carefully. Amen. It's important you apply what you have learned. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because these are all part of the principles of faith, God's currency. Amen. Show God your faith. Amen. Give God your faith. Amen. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Amen. So see yourself well, see yourself strong, see yourself bursting with energy, with divine life. Amen. Maybe like a picture, you see yourself like a tree planted, green always. There's not a single leaf that is brown. Or you can see yourself like light shining through every cell of your being and start thanking the Lord that by His stripes, you are healed. Okay? Now, without the cross, it just becomes a new age kind of like, you know, gimmick. But I'm telling you, the principles of faith work via the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And now use your words, the principle of faith, having the same spirit of faith. Amen? And start saying from now on, by His stripes, I am healed. Lord Jesus, You are my healer and You've set me free. Your law, the spirit of life, has set me free from the law of sin and death. How do you think the law of sin and death operates? In one manifestation of that is sickness, disease. Amen. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, just place your hand on the afflicted area right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke every sickness and disease under the sound of my voice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, set your people free from this ailment in their body, from this disease that is raging in their body right now. In Jesus' name, it comes to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I command the foul spirits of infirmity afflicting you right now to loose your bodies and let you go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I literally see like angels pouring golden oil over you, my friend, and you're feeling like warm, gooey, liquid honey all over you. That is a manifestation right now. If that is you, you are healed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Stand to your feet, friends. On a prayer blessing over all of you. Again, we don't say this to soothe. We say this because we believe God will take our words. Amen. And weak as we are. Amen. You know, we are not perfect yet. Praise the Lord until we see Jesus face to face. But weak as we are, God will take the little that we have and with His blessing make us rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. This coming week, the Lord bless you and your families. Amen. With divine favor. With shalom, peace, with divine protection from the COVID-19 virus, with divine protection from every sickness, with divine protection from harm, accidents, dangers, from all the powers of darkness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord favors you, He smiles on you, He imparts His own visions into your heart and mind. The spirit of wisdom and revelation operates mightily in you. You are someone like Joseph, of whom others will say, who can find such a man, such a woman in whom the Spirit of God is? Who can find such a wise and understanding person? It shall be said of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Are you or someone you love in need of healing? Discover your practical guide to receiving God's health in this brand new power-packed teaching kit by Joseph Prince as our thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. With these two easy-to-read booklets and special 2-CD teaching series, you'll discover why the Holy Communion and anointing oil are God's ordained channels to break free from everything that's keeping you in defeat.
You know how you get grain, how you get bread, how you get wine, how you get oil? It's all crushed. It's like the olive oil. If it's not crushed, the oil will not flow. It's like bread. Unless it is crushed, then you will not have bread. It is like wine. Unless the wine is broken and stepped upon and crushed, then it cannot become wine. So Jesus came to be crushed.
so that all that he is, health, life, wholeness, abundance, prosperity, grace, goodness, will all flow out into your lives.
Gain a deeper understanding of why the Holy Communion is your way out of every crisis when you request the Jesus Makes Me Well package. Containing the Holy Communion Brings Life in Your Darkest Hour 2 DVD album. These faith-building resources are yours for a specific gift to the ministry. To order, call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org today.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.